Hey, I want to talk to you about obtaining and maintaining victory. You know, my Bible says we're more than conquerors, and I want to just assess some of that and look at ways to reinforce what Jesus has done for us. I heard John Osteen say years ago that our call and responsibility as believers is to manifest Satan's defeat. Isn't that a great phrase? That's what our life is all about. We're a reflection of the grace of God and also the fact that He's downloaded authority in us as believers. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. You know, He's given us this life-changing message of Jesus and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We've been given His word, which is that two-edged sword, which is our weaponry to cut through the thick, viney weirdness of life and be able to make some sense of this thing and really walk in a manner that pleases the Lord and live this thing out in daily victory. And I don't know about you, but I want this to show up in my words, my thought life, my heart, my attitude. And in fact, I want you just to go right into Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to just start out with this amazing portion of Scripture, verse 20 through 27. And we're going to just kind of look at what this whole victory thing is about. And I want to break down 3 points. Number one is a guarded heart. God's called us to the importance of tending to and guarding our heart. We're going to look at some of that in a minute. Number two, a bridled tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We need to watch what we say and say what we mean and so forth and make sure that we understand the power of the words we speak. And number three, I want to talk about a renewed mind. Jesus came in to deliver us from the evil one. He came to transfer us out of the kingdom of darkness and plant us into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has kingdom principles. Jesus told Peter, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And we need to get these things into practical terms. And we need to understand that it has to do with our heart. It has to do with our tongue. And it has to do with our mind being renewed. And these are just simple things that keep getting repeated throughout the Scriptures. The Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Bible says to guard your heart, which we're about to look at. There's a lot to be said about our hearts, our tongues, and our minds. But I want to go right into Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. He said, my son, give attention to my words. And that's pretty much why we brought our Bibles. That's why we're looking at God's word right now. That's why I'm preaching it to you. I'm committed to meditate on and preach the word of God to you as distilled and as clear and as lucid as possible so you can get a hold of it, take action on it, be a doer of it, that faith will come by hearing the word, that you'll be able to rise up in your heart life, in your thought life, in your words, and move up into new levels of advancement in God and win in the battles of life. My son, give attention to my words. Pay attention. There's a lot to be said. I mean, they just right now have a researcher in Europe has determined that kids that are using MySpace and Facebook are hijacking and sabotaging their attention capabilities. They're saying that it's recircuiting their brains a little bit. Well, I could have told them that with the FBI in color and Batman and all the stuff I watched when I was a kid. There are a lot of things vying for our attention. And that's why the writer of this proverb is telling us to give attention to the word. Now, right away, our hearts kind of lull a little bit because it gets in this thing of, I don't really like to read my Bible and I need to read my Bible. Now, listen. If you understand how powerful God's word is, it's forever settled in heaven. In the beginning was the word. God's word is true, that it causes a change in our lives, a transforming in our hearts. He said, my son, give attention, pay focus, look at, be alert toward, understand the power of it, don't underestimate the vitality of it, incline your ear to my sayings. Now it gets anatomical. It starts with attention, then it goes to our ear gate, our hearing. Faith comes by hearing. A lot of information comes into our hearing. Do not let them depart from your sight. The eye gate, there's a lot about what we fix our gaze on, what we look at. There's talk about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. I mean, there are all kinds of issues there on the negative side. But also, as we look into creation, we see the glory of God. We look at the stars and the firmament, and they declare His glory. And we look into His word. Information comes into our heart and into our mind. Look at what it says here. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and even health to all their body. This is God's prescription to us. God's word is medicine. The entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The centurion, when he was concerned about his servant back home who was sick, he said to Jesus, just speak the word only. You don't even have to come to my house. I'm not even worthy for your visit. Just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. There's power in the word. God spoke the word at the beginning. In the beginning, God spoke in light and everything happened through the spoken word. There's something powerful about the speech center of our brain. Researchers are finding some fascinating things about the impact of our words. It's reinforcing what the word of God's been saying for thousands of years. But they are life to those who find them. What is? God's word is life. It's life. And health to all their body. Watch, now look at verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence. This is what the New American Standard says. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Stop. This is more important than we realize. What are the springs of life? What is the heart? The heart is that part of you. It's the spirit. It's that part of you that has been redeemed when you asked Jesus into your life. It's that part that got activated, that was broken and lost. But when you responded to the gospel and you received Jesus, you became alive spiritually. Okay, well, we're now to grow up in him and understand and advance in this. And we need to watch over our hearts with all diligence. We don't have time to turn to it, but in Mark's gospel, the fourth chapter, it breaks it down like this. The sower sows the word, and then he goes to describe, Jesus talks about the different levels of soil and conditions of soil, which represents our heart and our receptivity or the lack thereof to his word. So what this verse is saying is the same thing as Mark 4. We need to watch and guard and tend to our garden. Just like Adam and Eve had a responsibility to tend to the garden and sadly failed and allowed intrusion and infiltration and hindrance and disruption, we need to guard our hearts with all diligence because that's where the issues of life come out of. Remember John chapter 7 where Jesus said, come to me, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. When you believe in me, he said, as the scripture says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Listen. The goal of my instruction tonight is to activate you toward victory, to show you how powerful it is. This is why we've got to guard our heart. We've got to live a guarded life, to tend to the soil of our heart, to keep our hearts with all diligence. Why? Because that's the part of us that God wants to emanate his glory and his life and his power through. There's some big, giant, humongous blessing on the other side of this deal. And if we'll guard our heart, for example, from bitterness, we'll guard our heart from unbelief or passivity. We'll guard our heart from the various hindrances. There are loads of them that hinder that flow of life. We're going to be the better off for it. Now, listen, the heart is so central. It is just to be have to be reminded of it as an indication of how fallen our world is. Everybody's become so caught up in the sensual kind of sensory reinforcement, instant gratification thing of our Western culture, for that matter, the whole world. We've got to understand that we're to live a heart life. We're to understand that there's this inner person, this hidden person of the heart, that we are spirit first. We have a soul. We live in a body. We have to guard this heart. We have to understand it and give attention to the word. Let me read a few things to you just for your refreshing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's in Deuteronomy 6:5. Jesus called this the greatest commandment. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Heart's important to God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke 12:34. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And I love this verse. I quote it often. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes are looking to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's a huge deal. God's looking, he sees the heart, and he's looking for people whose hearts are fully committed. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, let's look back at it. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Everybody say, guard your heart. Listen, I've been a Christian for a while now, and I've been a pastor for so many years in this town, and I've watched people get burned up and come and go, be sidetracked, be hijacked, and I've also had the the joy of watching people endure, persevere, tend to their spirit, take hold of this verse and understand it, and guard the soil of their heart with all diligence. And then I've also watched the springs of life pour out. Look at verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. See, this is why it goes from a guarded heart to a bridled tongue. A guarded heart to a bridled tongue. These things all tie so closely together. It talks about your sight, your hearing, your words. It's all tied in. The heart is being influenced by these sensory gates. And so when he says guard your heart, he's basically saying watch out what you watch. Watch out what you listen to. You know, watch out for toxic things. You know, watch out for the bad report. If there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. I mean, the guarded heart, the bridled tongue, and the renewed mind. You guys, these are the areas where we go at it with a commitment and a renewed determination. Here it is Friday night. You've heard a bunch of news. You've listened to the radio. You've watched TV. You've seen indicators. You know, maybe gone into the store that's a little bit emptier. You've seen people a little panicky. You've seen people who've walked with God that have kind of pulled away. You've dealt with your own vicious temptations and challenges in your mind and in your own life. Yet here you are, responding to the call, responding to this one whose eyes are looking to and fro throughout the earth to find someone whose heart is his so that he may strongly support them. I just say this to you. This is an incentive. Our motive is just to love the Lord. But he puts reward incentives in there. And if you'll guard your heart, the springs of life will flow out of it. It'll increase the impact and the flow of power and anointing in your life. How many of you would like that? Sure you would. That's what God made you for, good works. He made you to reflect and convey and communicate the blessing of God. The devil has worked overtime to suppress as many of us as often as he can for as long as he can, and we've got to just pull that thing off of there. We've got to break out of it. So when I'm talking about victory, I'm talking about you getting an advantage where you're getting strengthened with might and power by his spirit in your inner man. The eyes of your understanding are being enlightened. You're receiving, you're giving attention to his word. Just like Joshua, he said, meditate on my word day and night, being careful to do all that is written in it. Don't let it depart from your sight. Keep it in the midst of your heart. He's saying, don't let it leave your lips. He said, basically, keep speaking his word. Keep standing on his word. In fact, I'm not reading. I'm now marrying all these verses together, so I'm going to look it up for you. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That means you got to keep saying it. Don't stop saying God's word, speaking God's word. Let it get in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You shall meditate on it once a week. You shall occasionally listen to a CD. You shall download a podcast once a month. No, you shall meditate, ponder it, think about it, meditate on it, focus, give attention to my word. It's another word, wait for saying it. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Mother Teresa, I remember she said, God never called us to success, he called us to obedience. I thought, wait a minute. I think she said that while she was receiving the Nobel Prize for obeying God's word. She was very successful. She was successful at obeying the great commandment to go love the less fortunate. You know, so she says she wasn't successful. She was one of the most successful people out of, you know, the planet. Come on. God's called us to succeed. Success is not a bad thing. In fact, God's called us to succeed in every area of life. It's true. He's called us to be more than conquerors. Joshua and Caleb got a hold of it. They got infected by it. Even though there were giants in the land, they said, we shall by all means possess the land. Why? Because their reference point was they had attention to the word. Remember what God spoke to us through Moses at Kadesh Barnea. They remembered it was from God. They remember it that it came out of Moses' lips. And they even remembered the geographic location where it was stated. Joshua had that in his spirit. He said, look, you can serve these other gods if you want, but as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Why? Because this is the right thing to do. This is the way I want to go. So there's already present a heavy level of commitment in this place. There's also a massive level of bombardment aimed at you and me. Why? Because we're to be on the alert, be sober, because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. So how do you do that? You go right back in here and say, God, I'm going to guard my heart because that's where the anointing comes out of. That's where the rivers of living water come out of. That's where your Holy Spirit has put me in touch with God. That's where Jesus gets displayed and manifest. And so, God, I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to keep my heart with all diligence. We've got to guard our heart, man. You know, there's a lot of talk about heart stuff. And there's, you know, I've seen these diagrams of arteries with plaque. And they're terrible, man. It's awful. They're prescribing all kinds of stuff to Roto-Rooter, all that. They're telling us to eat more grapefruit or whatever. And because they don't want those places to be blocked. Because if those places are blocked, that's it. Because your heart is important. Did you notice? You can lose a fingernail, that's no problem. It'll hurt, but you can get up the next day. But your heart is a big deal. I mean, I'm going medical on you now. I'm getting real scientific here. Write it down. Your heart is a big deal. That'll get you a boost on your ACT score, what I just told you. Guard your heart. Give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my saying. Don't let them escape your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. There's some vital things we need to guard. Guard your heart. Bridle your tongue. James 1:26. Look, it already says, put away devious lips from you and so forth. Let your eyes look directly ahead. While you turn into James 1:26, let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Turn your foot from evil. Now turn to James chapter 1. Everybody say the heart, the tongue, the mind. Okay, let's look here at verse 26, James chapter 1. Guard your mouth, zip your lip. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, now some of us in this church, we go, oh, I'm not religious, man. I have a relationship with God, so I'm okay with this. No, it means where you're serving God. This is a proper term for religious. It means you really think you're serious about God. You really think you're living a heart life. You think you're really endeavoring to walk with God, and yet you don't bridle your tongue, but deceive your own heart. This man's religion is worthless. Now, we're talking about worthwhile, successful, fruitful, victorious life. So we already understand God's telling us, hey, you get better, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, because from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart from a hardening of the attitudes. Guard your heart from bitterness. Guard your heart from unbelief. Guard your heart from becoming divided. God wants a single heart. He wants us to follow through on this thing with a single heart, and he wants us to be careful to bridle our tongue. Now, bridle is immediately understood here in these verses because these people understood animals, beasts of burden with yokes. Jesus talked about a yoke, and now he's talking about bridles. He talked a lot about fish nets and agricultural terms and all those kinds of things because it was an agrarian society and so forth, and they immediately, readily understood what he was talking about. These were the analogous parable things that tied so meaningfully together in their lives. I went horseback riding a while back, and it was a mare, in fact, that just gave birth to a colt. And this horse did not like me. And what I found out about horses, you know, is it's different than the pony ride in the yard when you're having your eighth birthday and you get a Roy Rogers hat and a black and white picture. And it's different than going on those pack rides when you take out youth trips down to Ironton, you know, back in the 80s. And it's like, this is no big deal, man. I'm like practically like John Wayne. And so I got on one of these horses that was very, shall we say, spirited. The guy that was working there said, she just went rodeo on y'all. Because I got on that horse and that horse's ears pinned back and they have those big horse eyes, you know, and their pupils are different than ours. And they're like, they're kind of creepy. They're like this way and they know it freaks you out and they look at you and they can see the little white and it kind of looks back and its ears pinned back. And man, it decided to test me at the bridle. And I didn't have the bridle held just right. And before they could get me going, I got up on there and that horse decided to try to buck me right clear off for about, I don't know, 100 yards. It was like Wide World of Sports. Only not the thrill of victory, but the agony of defeat. But my male ego, all you brothers can relate to this, kicked in. And even though I did not have horsemanship skills, I had a massive 14-year-old junior high male ego thing kicking, and my legs locked in, and my hand, I mean, I just refused to be kicked off this horse. And I got some pretty good, you know, they gave me a little shout out for somehow miraculously, I think probably it was more like angels were pinning me on there, said, don't ever do this again. Just stay in the car. But what I had done wrong is I let the bridle, I did not have an understanding of the value of the bridle. So consequently, it was loose. The horse was testing me to see if I meant business with him. And that I knew how to ride her. And so she tested me. Well, I didn't do real well. In fact, for the rest of the day, just kept looking at me, had an attitude. And when it got back into the stall, it was like, it was saying kind of, I think, unkind, harsh horse terminology to me, I think. I'm glad I couldn't interpret it, but I think it was bad. It would have to be deleted and bleeped. Had a bad attitude. But what this verse is saying about the bridle is, if those of you that know about horses, when a bridle gets into a horse's mouth, you can turn it by the simple maneuvering of that bridle wherever the rider wants it to go. And the Bible here is saying you need to bridle your tongue. This is something that is so emphatic throughout the Bible, but so rare that believers stay on top and persistent with this. If you want to live in victory, you've got to guard your heart. You need to also bridle your tongue. Jesus, even of the Holy Spirit, he doesn't speak on his own initiative, but he takes from Jesus and reveals to us. Even Jesus said, I only want to do what I see my Father doing. So God's calling us as we guard our hearts to also guard, put a guard on our mouths. It says this in the Psalms, God, I put a guard on my mouth that I might not sin against you. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And this is kind of a misunderstood subject, but we know that faith comes by hearing the word, and it's the foolishness of the preaching that pleases God. Hey, there's a 90-year-old Carolina man that got saved in a baseball arena a few years back, and he's been preaching the gospel, and people have been getting saved by hearing those words. Faith comes by hearing the words. Same thing with the bad report, with the bad spies, with the bad words. They brought back word as it was in their heart. Joshua and Caleb, they had taken the word of God into their heart, what had been spoken. It's, we're going to get this land, even if there are giants, even if it's a protracted battle. But the others brought back word as it was in their heart, and they melted the hearts of the people with fear. Now, the reason I'm preaching this to you is for your personal benefit, but also so that you will uncork the wells of blessing that are to flow out of your interesting, spirit-led life. So you increase in more and more of the fruitfulness of God for the impact of the people that are dry and parched and hurting in this world. And you're signed up. God's looking for people whose hearts are his, who are guarding their hearts, and who are bridling their tongues. Look what it says. If we do bridle our tongue, let's reverse this verse. Let's look at it from the antithesis. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Notice there's parallel here with tongue, with heart. There are whole tie-ins with all of this. Now let's look at this on the positive side. If you think you're religious and you bridle your tongue and you affirm your heart, this man's religion is worthwhile. Pure and defiled religion is to visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep yourself unstained by the world. Again, it goes back into a guarded life, a guarded heart. Now let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of James, quickly. We'll look at just a number of verses. In verse 2, it says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, yet are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires, so also is the tongue. So the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity, and the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and is set on fire by the course of life, and is set on fire by hell. And then it says, every species of beasts and birds, reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. So we see here, that's almost fatalistic in verse 8, that you can't bridle your tongue in your own power and your own strength, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. That as we learn to discipline ourselves, as we learn the importance and the imperative on our lives, that we've got to bridle our tongue. We really do need to watch what we say. In fact, recently, former President Bill Clinton commented about his concern for our current president that in his language of stating the realities of our economy, that he's sending out a message that's pulling away from hope. I don't know if you heard this recently. And I thought it's interesting that an 8-year, 2-term president who'd been there, done that, is commenting in kind of a, I felt, an important, kind-hearted gesture of counsel. President, former to current, hey man, don't spin this into the negative too much, because you're going to melt the hearts of the people. That's just in the political arena. That's just in this sort of lesser realm of power. But really, God's saying that very same thing to all believers. We need to learn to bridle our tongue. And I'll tell you, I have had problems with this. Are there any other honest people in here? Please, come on. Thank you. Okay. Because the Bible says that it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I had problems with it on that mirror, and she took advantage of it. I didn't have that thing, but once I did, it was like, woo, woo, woo. And then they made her even, you know, it made her mad, but she stopped trying to kick me off. She did sprint a little bit, but I still held on. Oh, yeah. But I want to show you this, because the speech center of the brain is very, very important. Even science, even neuroscience, and some of these evolving kind of theories that are being analyzed by the scientific world are confirming what the Bible has been saying for thousands of years. There's something amazing, even in the issues of our lives, of the release of chemistry in our brains and various things like that, the impact on our emotions, that, you know, I'm not an expert on those kinds of things, but I do understand what these verses say. And that if we think we're going to be serving God and living for God and we don't bridle our tongue, we make our Christian walk worthless or less effective. And when the Bible says, guard your heart because from it flow the springs of life, I just want to tell you, you're created in Christ for good works. You're anointed by God. You are tapped out. God's given you the ministry of reconciliation. God's given you the power to pray where you stand before God on behalf of men. He's given you the call to preach where you stand before men on behalf of God. And he's anointed you to do it. And then, of course, the enemy wants to come and suppress it at its source, block up the springs. You read in the Old Testament where the Philistines came and threw dirt on top of the wells where the people would go get fresh water in these artesian wells where beautiful fresh water would bubble up out of the underground streams. And they threw dirt on top of the wells to try to stop it. That's why the enemy will try to attack, like just like heart blockage, he'll try to stop the flow. I lost a friend on my birthday last year, a young man, who died on my birthday because of a heart blockage. And it pains me, and I don't want to see that with believers. I want to see us guard our heart, keep our heart, go forward, advance the cause of Jesus, see the rivers of life flow out of us. Come on. And you know that there have been things that have tried to pressure you and squeeze you out of the race. God's mercy, however, and power and presence is on you, but we need to learn to guard that. He said, guard it. So we guard it. We watch it. And we watch our mouths, bridle our tongue, guard our mouths. Not in some sort of weird affectation, because the Bible says, no human being can tame the tongue. We could tame a lizard and we could tame a parrot. I just saw a parrot dancing to a Ray Charles song. And it had rhythm, man. It was flowing. It had his neck moving and everything. It was awesome. It's crazy, actually. How can a bird learn R&B? I don't know, but it did. You can teach birds how to dance to Ray Charles, but it's hard to bridle your tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. But if we want to go forward in life, we need to learn to bridle our tongue. In fact, for example, I read about a preacher in England years ago in the 1920s, and when people started murmuring about people, he'd say, brethren, it's time to pray. Instead of entering into the gossip, he said, we got to pray about that. Let's not talk about it. Let's pray about it. That's a way to bridle your tongue. Sometimes, man, it's just, you just have to just kind of just, bridling is not always being quiet. Sometimes bridling is calling those things which be not as though they are. Sometimes it's a bold declaration of faith. Just like Caleb, he quieted the people and said, we shall by all means possess the land. That was in the face of amazing odds. And we disparage those other spies that came back, but they actually did see giants. They actually did see the what they thought were insurmountable odds, but something had happened in their heart where they got hindered and they backed off, and it seized them before they could move to the next level. Joshua and Caleb, though, the Bible says he had a different spirit in him. And that's my prayer for you guys, Friday night, family church, listen. Even those of you visiting, I want to believe God that stuff gets pushed off of you. And for a moment, you're able to just respond to this and go, man, I want to give attention to God's word. In fact, I want to preach as much word to you as often as I can because faith comes by hearing the word. His word is forever settled in heaven. You don't need me to share one scripture and then a whole bunch of poems and all kinds of references to TV. You're going to get references to TV, and somehow I will be poetical. But the bottom line is the word is God's power. And he said, my son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those who find them and they are health to all their flesh. How many times has God encouraged me with a psalm? How many times has God corrected me in an area in the epistles, in an adjustment or a moment of need to change? How much instruction God shined light for me to show me in the world that's gone in such polarity against God, how God's just causing us just to come to Him and the light to go on and the power of the Holy Spirit to come. Then I tried to read I had a Bible in my garage in California. It was red and gold and it was beautiful. It had a really nice overlapping leather. I mean, it was beautifully bound. It was amazing. The paper was Indian rice paper. It was an amazing Bible. I opened it up and I could not understand any of it. But I remember when I asked Jesus in my heart, I could even understand the King James Bible because something had happened on the inside of me. It wasn't just I had all of a sudden an aptitude and I'm going to read Ivanhoe and Beowulf and the King James Bible. All of a sudden I'm reading it with fascination. All of a sudden something magnetic has happened. My spirit that was dead has been brought to life. And now my heart is receptive and I'm sowing the word into my heart. Wow. That's why you got to watch out about bad seed. And you know, the Bible says God hates a sower of discord among the brethren. They sow the seed. There's another imagery for seed. God's word, though, is incorruptible seed. You just take it on and you give attention to it. It's going to germinate and produce a crop in your life and make you a phenomenal, impactful person in the universe. Listen, some of you just dare believe that. Just dare to believe that there's a supernatural thing. God wants to, what he calls springs of life flowing out of you, rivers of living water and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just don't want to hinder it. In fact, I will say this. There is gold in them thar hills. Or even black gold. Remember? Come listen to a story about a man named Jed. He was a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. But then one day, you know the story. Oil, that is. Black gold. Texas tea. All right, listen. These truths are self-evident. The Bible in Proverbs says, guard your heart because from it flow the springs of life. That is not allegorical. That is not make-believe. That is not mythology. That's not cutesy pie. That's not let's hope so. It's reality. Victor Hugo, the French writer, tapped into those things and came out with amazing stories of redemption. Robert Louis Stevenson, you can see throughout history people that had a yieldedness to God, a yielded heart, and God did amazing things. Handel, who came into a writer's block and his creativity and got Isaiah 53 and blasted something that is so meaningful. It's one of the most wonderful message-oriented Christmas time statements. Wow. Little Charlotte just on her walker with that perpetual smile that just radiated past her circumstances, which as we prepared the service, Pastor John and I, we found out she did not have an easy life. People would think, well, just I'd live to be 91 and be all rosy if everything was so easy. No, she had a life filled with challenge, but she guarded her heart. And in fact, Pastor John interviewed her last Christmas before last, and asked her pointed questions about anger and about bitterness. And she said no. And it wasn't some sort of pious, I'm more spiritual than everybody else, and I'm just a nicer person. I have more endorphins squirting through me and more serotonin or whatever. She was attributing it to the refinement that comes from a guarded heart, a bridled tongue, And I want to finish with a renewed mind. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to go to that one, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 is talking about when Moses came off the mountain and the glory of that old covenant was so brilliant and great, but there's even a greater glory on this new covenant, and that where the Lord is the Spirit and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. When a man turns to the Lord, the veil's removed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. When you turn to the Lord, revelation comes, light comes. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Transformed, the Greek word is where we get the word metamorphosis. It's metamorphuo, and it means to transition from one state of being to another. Now, this is very inviting. This is very exciting, actually, because this will help us with our tongue, and this will help us with our heart. Because our heart is getting information that's percolating through our thought life and through our eyes, ears, and so forth. So it's an amazing synergy with everything. That's why we need to attend to His Word. We need to gaze on Jesus. We need to incline our ear to His sayings. Did you see all that? It's all, as we divide it all up, it's also very tied together, okay? So we try to compartmentalize it, but then at the end of the day, God wants us to give our whole life to Him, spirit, soul, body, and submit to His amazing Word, which has life-transforming properties, that when we look in the mirror of the Word, we are transformed into that same image from one level of glory to another. Not from a mess to glory, but from glory to glory. God's called us to stages and degrees of victory, and that's how I started this out with. It's how we obtain and maintain victory. We guard our heart. You guys have been through a thing or two. You don't have control over some of what's happened to you, but you have control how you respond to it. You guard your heart. Joshua and Caleb apparently heard all the bad report and they decided, wait a minute, what did God say about this? Their reference point was different than the majority. They were the minority report, but they happened to be right. And they were right on with what God had told them, and they held to it. And they had a 40-year delay, but they got into where God had called them to go. And this is really what's so pressing in this place right now. If people knew how close they were to their breakthrough, they wouldn't have quit when they did. And I'm a little frustrated with how many people go off on the wayside. My heart is pained when I see over 30 years, my heart's pained when I see people drift off and back off. The Bible says His soul has no pleasure in those who shrink back, but we're not of those who shrink back. Why? Because we're guarding our heart, because we know there's something powerful that God wants to manifest through it. We bridle our tongue because we don't want our religion to be worthless. I mean, I've learned in 30 years of marriage, it's important that I bridle my tongue. And Patsy's learned that it's important that she bridle her tongue in the marriage setting with our interaction with each other. You know, you just don't want to blurt out sometimes. I mean, it's okay to blurt out the sweet little nothings. Those are cool. It's like, love you, baby. I mean, I start singing, baby. I sing Love Boat, everything. She just rolls her eyes, you know. But, you know, there's some things that you just get up on the wrong side of bed, get a little grouchy. You just don't want to give your wording to what's going on in that situation. Everybody's going, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. All of a sudden, everybody's so innocent and sweet just then. Got to bridle your tongue. Now let's just look at Renew Your Mind. Romans chapter 12. Casey Treat is a wonderful pastor up in Seattle. He was a heroin addict and was really troubled in his youth. And one of the hallmark themes of his ministry, he's been voted as the most motivational pastor in all of the Pacific Northwest. And here's what he said. It's actually what Paul said, but this pastor's taken this on. And it has attributed a lot of victory in his life to this whole process of mind renewal. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me read some other translations to you. Be not conformed to this world. The American Standard says, do not be fashioned according to this world. Rotherham says, do not be configuring yourself unto this age. Goodspeed said, you must not adopt the customs of this world. There's kingdom culture And then there are different kind of cultures, and there's island culture. It's pretty much laid back. There's third world culture. There's Eastern culture. There's Western culture. There are variables, and there are distinctives to it. And there's world culture. There's kingdom culture. And he's saying, do not adopt the customs of the world. The Lampsa translation says, do not imitate the way of this world. We're to be imitators of God. We're not to imitate the people around us. If we're not getting adamantly and actively getting our minds renewed, by default, we will be conformed to the world. Because you and I, let's face it, let's be real here. In some ways, we're like chameleons. We are products of our environment. That's why God wants us to attend to his word and spend that time in that rarefied throne room environment. That's why worship was so beneficial. That's why our personal daily Bible study is important. That's why sitting under the word and the teaching of the word is so significant, because it gets us in a place where we're adopting mind-renewing truths and getting strengthened with might and power by his spirit and the inner man. Do not be conformed to this world. Here's what it says here. I love the J.B. Phillips translation. He was an English vicar in the Anglican Church. Died in the 1980s. One of the best paraphrases, if you could find a J.B. Phillips, I mean, it is outstanding. It'll enrich your spiritual life. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Let me say it again. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. We're not to be conformed to this world. Amplified says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. We need to be in the world, but not of it. And what's the hinge point? We guard our heart. Why? Because that's where the springs of life come from. We bridle our tongue. Why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And if we can control it, our life can be really in amazing fruitfulness. And then it says here, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, there's a guy named Barry McGuire. He was in the original Broadway presentation of Hair, which really wasn't his claim to fame, I think, you know. But then he also did Eve of Destruction. You guys remember that? He was in the New Christy Minstrels, for those of you dinosaurs who understand old pop music from the 60s. He sang a song called Bullfrogs and Butterflies. They've both been born again. Now this spring, if you get it near any body of water in Missouri, you're going to hear crazy sounds coming off the shoreline. And if you go down there, you'll see these creatures, these tadpoles, that are just kind of swimming around. And then all of a sudden, they morph into having little legs. So they've got this crazy distorted head with these big bulbous eyes and this crazy tail. And they're hanging out trying to dodge fish and, you know, blue heron and things like that. And they're there sprouting these little appendages. And they morph from being these little tadpoles to being bullfrogs. Or you see caterpillars. Help me. And they, you know, they run across the yard, they run across the street, they wait till you get in the, you're driving, they get in front of traffic all the time, or bike rider, they get out there. And then what do? They're crawling along, and a lot of them do get squished, but that's not this message. They find, they attach themselves to a tree, they hang there, and all of a sudden they go, and they get all liquefied and gelatinous, and then all of a sudden, and then at a certain point, you know, they start biting their way out, and they pop out their... And then they fly off. And I just read in National Geographic, no, the Smithsonian magazine, that their back wings, they could fly just as far and straight without their back wings. So some scientists clipped their back wings. I thought that was cruel. But they said that those back wings are, now they're finding out that they help them to turn real fast. So that when we try to catch them, they get out of there faster. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. From an unregenerate, sense-ruled, all we like sheep have gone astray, very limited creature, to tapping into the mind of Christ, to being renewed in the spirit of your mind, to putting on off the old man and putting on the new man, to understanding what you are in Christ and what your calling and capacity is in this world. Let me tell you, as society is having birth pangs and is aching, as jobs and environments are shifting, as schools are closing, and all these variables are happening, we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Therefore, we guard our heart and maintain a confidence that faithful is he who calls us, he'll also bring it to pass. And therefore, we bridle our tongue because we know that we've got to, or else we're making our religion vain. So we got to learn to speak the word only and believe God and discipline our tongues and actually trust God to help us with it, because in our human power, we can't. But then we can be renewed. And by being renewed in our minds, we're going to not conform to the world. We're going to stay in a close, tight walk with God obtaining and maintaining victory. It prevents conformity, and it creates true transformation. This ought to inspire you to read your Bible about the guarded heart, about the bridled tongue, and about the renewed mind. Now, how many of you would say in this room, you know, Pastor, that was a great word, but, you know, really, I've mastered all these areas, and I've pretty much arrived. Who in here has arrived? Oh, okay, good. That's what I thought. Now, you get a hold of this. You know, every time you read your Bible, you're going to get your mind renewed. You're going to understand a little bit more about God. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, if you're like me, you want instant gratification and you want to have big, gigantic strides. There are no shortcuts. But I'm telling you, God is faithful and wants to help us tend and guard our hearts. He wants the rivers of life to flow out in amazing increased capacity. I'm the product of having an encounter with a wide awake Christian that had a heart for God, was not afraid to speak and boldly proclaim, had a bridled tongue and shared the gospel, and had his mind renewed to understand some of the word of God. He shared with me John chapter 14, what is it, verse 6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father but through him. The lights went on in my young 16-year-old life, and in that formative period, in that seeking period, God brought me out of the pit. Now, there are nations that are going to open up to you. There are clarifications that will come to you about work that will save people their jobs, that will help the management to understand how to weather these storms of life. There are answers that are going to come to you. Some of you are going to be prompted to pray for people. I was told today a guy who goes to a church in Warrington has been praying for me for the last few weeks. I am so thankful. His heart's guarded. His mind's renewed. His tongue's bridled. And he's praying. He's believing God. He's responding to the Holy Spirit because, boy, I need that prayer. I'm telling you, there are things God wants to do, and his eyes are looking for people whose hearts are his. We got to guard our heart. That's why you got to watch who you hang with. You got to watch what you listen to. Listen, there's so much toxic information out there. I'm not advocating you bury your head in the sand at all. Believers should be informed. We just got to watch what we watch, and we've got to guard our hearts. Okay? If you're going to get into news, you got to also have amazing amounts of good news. Father, right now I thank you for pouring out a blessing that people cannot contain. The anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon each person. Make your face shine on them. I sense your presence, Lord, which is more than adequate. You're helping us to face the storms and challenges of life. Father, I know there's some people in here that it took everything for them to come here. They fought back sleep deprivation. They fought back all the bombardment in their mind. But I know you've sown a seed into each one of our hearts. I'm better off for it. I thank you, God, that you're helping us to guard our hearts, that we'll be heart people, that we'll walk in a manner worthy of you. For those who have given their hearts to Jesus tonight for the first time, now I advise you to get a Bible, to plug into a life-giving church that loves Jesus. The people are trying to keep it real. The Bible's true. The doctrine's right. There's vision. And plug into something that's beyond what you've ever done. Believe God for some big things. Now, some of you that have been on the issues of depression, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And man, whatever it takes, get out of that situation. If you need to talk to somebody, do it. If you're under a doctor's care, man, make sure you let them know what's going on. But I believe in God with you for you to get out of that oppression and get into breakthrough. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, champions. We're not going to let our hearts tremble with fear. We are more than conquerors in Jesus. It's God's word, man. Listen to it. Feed on it. Come on.